Okay, so Perek Shlishi, the third Perek of El Basra, there are 8 Mishnayos. We're going to try to give a nice summary. Mishnah Aleph is talking about how you can make a chazakah on different types of land. It's mostly talking about land. The Mishnah says that the chazakah that you make on a house, on a pit, on a, you know, all these different types of cisterns, caves, things like that. And then it mentions avadim also, slaves. The way you do it, the idea is, the generalization is things that produce constantly. Kol shehu osa peros tadir. So the way you make it, have a chazakah, is 3 years. You need it on the dot 3 years exactly. What does that mean to have a chazakah? That means that if somebody would protest, right, you're living in a land, at what point can we assume that you living there and nobody protesting means that you actually live there? So for the first 3 years, for all these things that produce fruits constantly, we assume that within the first 3 years, the owner didn't really have a right to, he didn't have a chance to protest yet, and the fact that you're there doesn't prove that it belongs to you. But after 3 years, if he hasn't said anything, then you don't even need a shtar anymore and we can assume it's yours. The Gemara explains for a bunch of different reasons why you might not need a shtar after 3 years. Maybe it's a comparison to Shor HaMuad. Maybe it's 3 years, people don't hold on to their shtars anymore. Then the Mishnah says that if you have other types of fields that produce fruits more frequently than once a year, so then the chazakah is only, you don't need exactly a full 3 years. Rabbi Shmuel says you only need 18 months, right? You need 3 months of the last year and 3 months of the first year, and then a full second, of the third year, sorry, and then a full second year. So that's all of that. And then after that, you need in the according to Rabbi Akiva, you need only 14 months. You need 1 month in the last year, in the first year, and 1 month in the third year. Rabbi Shmuel then says, when does this all apply? This applies to a Sadeh Lavan, when it's tevua and everything is consistent and it's all the same, but in a field of trees where each tree is different. So once you basically have three different times, so then that's it. It doesn't matter. It's not a time constraint. You don't need a certain amount of time. It doesn't need to be 3 years. As long as you take the grain, take the produce once of three different fruits, so then that would be enough to make a chazakah on a field full of trees, as long as you take fruits from each one. That's Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis says that there are three distinct lands within Eretz Yisrael that apply to chazakah. There's Yehuda, there's Eretz Yarden, and there's the Galil. So if, let's say, you were in Yehuda, and somebody else made a chazakah on your land in the Galil, or vice versa, so that's not called a chazakah. You have to actually be there and not protest. We assume that the guy didn't have a chance to protest if he's in a different area, and therefore the fact that he hasn't protested doesn't make it a chazakah, and 3 years wouldn't do anything. Rabbi Yehuda says 3 years is actually, this is a new shita entirely, he says 3 years was only talking about somebody who's very far away, who's in Spain, so that they would need to go get him, and then he would be able to come back, and that would take a whole full 3 years. But if you're anywhere else, he says you absolutely do not require 3 years. You wouldn't require so much time. That's Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel says that a chazakah without a taina, without a claim, is not called a good chazakah. Meaning, the Mishnah then explains, what is it called without a claim? That's if a guy comes up to you and says, "New, what are you doing in this field?" And the response is, "Oh, nobody ever told me I can't be here." But the guy never claims that he actually owns the field, so that's not a good chazakah. But if he claims that you sold it to me, right? If his response when the guy says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "You sold it," or he says, "You gave it to me," or "Your father sold it to me," or "Your father gave it to me as a gift." So that's called a good chazakah because it has a taina. If somebody is coming as an he's an inheritor, he's getting it as a Yerusha, so there he doesn't need a taina because we assume that he doesn't know how his father acquired it. So he can't make a claim and say, "Oh, I acquired the land, my father acquired the land through X, Y, or Z means," because he doesn't even know. Then we say that if you have a guy who's working on a land, or you have a guy who's a partner in a land, a sharecropper, an apotropis, all these people don't have a chazakah because we assume that they're doing work on the land, but that doesn't make it theirs. They could be doing work for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but there's no reason that, right? He's just doing work. He's hired to do work. So the fact that he's there without a protest, obviously the guy never protested because he had a right to be there. Then the Mishnah says that a man does not have it, cannot be machzik, cannot have a chazakah on the possessions of his wife, and vice versa. And similarly, a father cannot be machzik the possessions of his son, and vice versa. Good. Then the Mishnah says, when does all of this apply, all this whole chazakah stuff that you need 3 years? That's when you're actually being machzik. That's when you're actually overtaking somebody's land. But if the guy gave it to you as a gift, or you have brothers who are divvying up possessions of their father, or it's possessions of a ger, so all of these things, as long as you are not all gadar or parts, if you do anything, you could lock it up, you could put a fence, you could do anything, breach the land, that's called a good chazakah. Mishnah Dalet says if you have two people who testified that a guy ate 3 years, but then it turns out that their edim is omit, two other edim come and say, you can't know that he ate and that he had a chazaka for 3 years because you were with us for those entire 3 years. In that case, they have to pay for the amount of fruits for that entire, for those entire 3 years to the actual owner of the field because that's what they tried to make him lose. They don't have to actually pay the field because the value of the field, the guy can just retrieve from the person who has it. Let's say there were two witnesses about the first year that he had, that he ate for the first year, and then two for the second, and then two for the third, and then they turn out to be Edom Zomim, so then they would split it six ways. The payment would go six ways. Each of the six witnesses would pay. If you have three brothers who testify, one each about the year, right? One brother testifies about year one, year two, and year three, and then there's another aid who testifies about all 3 years, so now you have four witnesses total, so that's considered three separate eduyos, and therefore, if, let's say, they all become Edom Zomim, so the guy who joined with the brothers would have to pay half of the total, and each of the other brothers would have to pay a sixth, because he would pay a half of each one. So it would be a half and a half and a half, which would add up to just a half total, and meaning it would have to add up to three-sixths total, and which is still a half, and each of the brothers would pay one half of a third, which therefore turns out to be one-sixth. And they're considered one Edus for Hazama, which means you need them all to become Edom Zomim at the same time, etc., etc. That's Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hey lists a bunch of things that do not have a chazaka and a bunch of things that do have a chazaka. So basically the idea is that the Mishnah says if you just put something into somebody's field that you're just using the field, but you're not actually doing anything to the field, so that's not a good chazaka. So if you just put your animal there, or you put an oven, or different types of millstones, or you put chickens there, or you put some fertilizer there, that's not called a chazaka. But if you actually made a wall for your animal that's taller than 10 tefachim, it's a real wall, or you did that for all these other things, or you actually brought chickens into the house, or you made a place for the fertilizer, you dug into the ground, that's called a good chazaka, which would mean that if somebody doesn't protest for 3 years, then we assume it belongs to you. If you were able to do such things and he never said anything, then we just assume it's yours. That's Mishnah Hay. Mishnah Vav talks about a marzi, which is basically a pipe that at the gutters on the side of the house would take all the rainwater and throw it off, and it would go through this pipe that would then pour water into somebody else's land. So we say that does not have a chazaka, meaning the fact that it goes into somebody else's land, the water, for 3 years does not give you a chazaka that you're allowed to do that. That's not called a chazaka. But the space that you have for the marziv is a good chazaka, meaning that if somebody didn't protest about it, he didn't have a problem with it for 3 years, then we assume that there's no problem with you doing it. A mazchila, which is the top part, it's the actual gutter pipe that goes on the top of the house along the side. It's hard to visualize all of this without seeing it in a picture, but that is something that does have a good chazaka. Then the Mishnah discusses different types of ladders. If you have an Egyptian ladder, the idea is it's a Sulam HaMitzri. The point is it's very small, so the fact that you put it in his land, in lo chazaka, that doesn't have a chazaka because we assume that it's not a big deal, so he allowed it there because he didn't really care. But if it's a Sulam Tzori, which is much bigger, and he didn't protest, so that's where it is a chazaka. Same thing with a window. There's a chalon hamitzvah. It's a much smaller type of window, so that doesn't have a chazaka. We assume the guy just wasn't super makbid. But if you have the bigger type, so that would be a prop. That would be a chazaka, because again, we assume that there's real damage that could happen, hezek ri'ah. And if he decides that he's not going to, the Baal doesn't say anything, so we assume you actually belong there. Then the Mishnah tries to describe what is a chalon hamitzvah. That is anything that's the size small enough that a person can actually stick their head through it, and that's why we assume that the guy never protested, and therefore it wouldn't be a good chazaka, the fact that you were there. Rabbi Huda then says, if it has some sort of a real frame, a solid frame, so then even if it's really small, it would still have a good chazaka, because then it's more kavua, it's more set, and the fact that he didn't protest would make it seemingly yours. If you have a ziz, which is some sort of a like hook almost that goes out of your chatzer, so if it's bigger than a tefach, so then it does have a good chazaka, and he theoretically could have protested within that first time, within those first couple of years. But if it's smaller than a tefach, again, we assume that he can't be mocha, he doesn't have a chazaka, it's just very small, and it's not a big deal that it's there. Mishnah Zayin says that a person should not open up a window into the chatzer, a chatzer that's shared by two people, even if he is one of those two people, right? Again, it's issues of hezek ri'ah here, of damaging by seeing into somebody else's property. But and similarly, the Mishnah says if you buy a house in a different chatzer, you shouldn't open it, but it's next to the chatzer, you shouldn't open up a wall or a door that goes into the other chatzer, because again, it's the same idea that you're going to be able to see in. Let's say you live in a chatzer and you want to build something on top, right? You want to build an aliyah, you want to build an attic, so you can't build it if it's going to look into the chatzer, the same issue of hezek riyah. But what could you do? You could build another room on the inside of your chatzer so it doesn't look out onto the chatzer. Or you could build an aliyah, you could build an attic within your house that doesn't look out onto the outside. Instead, you could get there, let's say, through your house, through a stairwell or something like that. Then the Mishnah says, you should not open a chatzer hashutfin, you should not open a Pesach keneged Pesach v'chalon keneged chalon, right? You should not, we know that the psukim commend the Jews, Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkanosecha Yisrael, they were beautiful because what did they do right? Is that was the bracha of Bilam, that they didn't open their tents. They were very modest, they were very tznius, that they didn't open one window keneged another window. So you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have a door facing another door that you could look in from the door, you could look in from the window. If you had a small window, then you can't make it big because the other guy in the chatzer, let's say, got used to it being small, and so he started acting in a tzanua manner, and all of a sudden you're making it big. Similarly, if it's one, and it's you can't make it two. But what could you do? Says the Mishnah. You can open it into a rishus harabim. You can open a pesach keneged pesach and a chalon keneged chalon. If you're in a rishus harabim, it's not a problem, because again, there's no issues of damaging through seeing into a rishus harabim, because we assume nobody's going to do anything private in a rishus harabim. Similarly, if you had a small window, you can make it big. If you had one, you can make it two, as opposed to what we just said before. Mishnah Ches, the last Mishnah, says that you can't open up a pit or something like that, or a cistern or a cave under a rishus harabim. You can't make a space underneath. It's rishus harabim's property. You have no right to do that. Rabbi Eliezer says it's fine as long as a wagon, a chariot, something would be able to walk on top of it and carry a load of stones. That way you're not impeding onto the rishus harabim. The Mishnah says that one is not allowed to have zizin ugezustros, which are different types of porches or hooks or things that reach out into the rishus harabim, because it could damage people. But what could you do if you want to do that? You could move your own house further in and then stick it out where it goes up until the beginning of the rishus harabim. That is totally okay. The Mishnah ends off and says that if you bought a house that already has these things in place, so then it remains in its chazaka. You don't have to worry. You don't have to destroy it. You don't have to dismantle it. I hope this was helpful. This was good. That is the end of the third parak.